We're going to turn to Scripture, 1 John chapter 3, one of my perhaps favorite portions of Scripture. Preached on it in many, many times and in many different ways, but tonight I want to just simply leave with you the message of the Gospel from this lovely portion of Scripture. 1 John and the chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Amen, and God will bless to our hearts this reading of His own precious Word. We'll have a moment of prayer, please. Let's keep our Bibles open. I believe when we open God's Word, we take time to pray over God's Word. So we're taking a moment of prayer over the open book. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Gospel meeting thus far. We thank you for all that has taken place. Lord, for the hymns of Zion that have thrilled our hearts. And just reminded us again of what the Lord has done for us who are saved. We thank you for the tithes, for the offerings brought into the storehouse. We pray what has been given, you'll take and you'll use to your glory. But now, Lord, we thank you for the word that we have read together. And how we bless thee for the word that forever is settled in heaven. Now, Lord, in these few remaining moments of our time together, as we seek just to meditate upon it simply in the gospel, we pray that the help of the Holy Spirit would be our portion just now. Speak to my heart. Give me that thankfulness of heart tonight. Speak to every waiting heart. For those of us who are saved, Lord, thrill our hearts again as to what you've done for us. But for those perhaps who are not saved tonight, O God, have that special word that will draw them tonight to the foot of the cross, and you'll save them for time, for all of eternity. We commit ourselves now to thee. Again we pray, Lord, close us in with thyself, for we ask it in our Saviour's lovely name. Amen and amen. Privileges are wonderful things. And as we journey through life, we enjoy many wonderful privileges. As I look around and see young people in meetings and sitting with Christian mothers and sitting with Christian fathers, I think that is a great privilege. To be born into a home where a father and a mother love the Savior and bring their children up in the ways of God. That is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. But just to be born into a good home, to a respectable home, and to be taught as you grow up manners and how to speak to people. And sad to say, that's missing in much of our land today. But I'm glad that we're in a church that doesn't happen to. We believe in teaching our children right. But you know, that's a privilege when you're born into a home like that. Of course, as you get a little bit older, there's the privilege of being introduced to that place called school. And I know that brings a smile to a lot of young faces. It certainly didn't bring a smile to mine. The only time I smiled about school was the day I left it. And I tell you, I had a grin from ear to ear. I'm not going to ask who likes school and who doesn't, because I don't want to start getting anybody into trouble tonight. But you know, education is a very important thing. And to be educated, well educated, that's a privilege. Because young people, we're living in a day that education is very important. And whatever field you want to enter in today, as you grow older and leave school and university or whatever, your education is very, very precious. And it's a great privilege to be well educated. But as you get a little bit older again, you have the privilege of one day getting your eye upon a young woman or a young man. And all of a sudden, sleep seems to leave you. Because every time you close your eyes, you see her face. You men know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've all been there. But it's a privilege when you meet the right partner for life. And you sat up home together, you get married, and it's a wonderful privilege to have a good wife, a good partner through life. But friends, I believe the greatest privilege that any man or any woman or any young person can ever enjoy in this life is the privilege of being saved. And the privilege of knowing that you are saved. You see, we're living in a day when people perhaps are going to church, and people are living on good works, and people are trying to work their way to heaven. But it's a wonderful privilege to really know deep down in your heart that you're not good living, that you're not just a churchgoer, but you're someone by the grace of God has been lifted from the mire of this old world. The Lord Jesus Christ lives within you, and you are a child of God. You're a real Christian because you're saved. And let me say to you young people, while your education is important, while getting the right partner in life is very, very important, the most important thing in life and the greatest privilege in life is the privilege of being saved. And tonight I want to look very, very simply at that privilege. The privilege of being saved. It's all very, very simple. You've probably heard much of it before, but the Lord certainly, in short notice, has laid this upon my heart for tonight. The first privilege I want you to look at tonight is this. There is the privilege of having your sins forgiven. So simple. But you know, friends, when you have had your sins forgiven and you know your sins have been forgiven, that's a privilege. And that's a joy. And that's a thrill. And that's why we sing these lovely old hymns that we've been singing. They're hymns of thanksgiving to the Lord. Love lifted me. My, what a thrill that brings to your heart, or it should bring to your heart. The privilege of knowing that you have had your sins forgiven. Here were the people here in this portion of Scripture that we read together tonight. And these people knew that their sins had been forgiven. Because they say to us in verse 5, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins." You see, here were a people, a very, very poor people. A people who, as far as this world was concerned, they enjoyed very, very little of the good things of this world. But here were a people, and they knew that one day, the Son of God, the darling of God's bosom, took their place upon an old rugged cross. He bore their sins. He paid the price of their redemption. Here were the people who really knew that their sins were all forgiven. And they said, therefore, "The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Friends, what a privilege. You see, we're living in a time, and I believe that everyone in this meeting tonight, you certainly know more theoretically about the gospel than these people did all so many centuries ago. Because since that time, there's been thousands and thousands of sermons continually preached about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been millions of hymns written and sung about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been singing some of them tonight. So we're sitting some 2,000 years later in Christian history, and every listener in this congregation is almost certain to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ than those people did so long ago. But the great point of issue tonight is this. It's not about your theoretical grasp of Christ, but it's all about your experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, it's ever so possible to know so much about His virgin birth. And we can know so much about His sinless life, His marvelous ministry, His wonderful miracles, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension. Now you can sit tonight in Dromore Free Presbyterian Church and you can know all about that. But yet you can sit and not know that your sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake. Look at the people here. They're a very, very simple people. And they're just saying to us very simply this. He took away our sins. Christ, the sinless, spotless Son of God, took our place on an old rugged cross, and He died there for us. He took away our sins. And these people are saying here, we're privileged. We're privileged. And dear Christian, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you're a privileged man and a privileged woman. And you are privileged, young people, to be able to say with these people, He took away my sins. I believe I've told you perhaps the story before. But the dear old lady from Faith Mission who worked her way up in the northern regions of Scotland, I had the privilege of meeting with her. And you know what a joy it was to speak to her. A lady who had a love for the Saviour, and a lady who had a love for souls that I never experienced before. She would have gone round the fishermen and round the factories and just told them all about the Lord in a very wonderful and a very gracious manner. But every time she would speak to people, she always quoted these words. She would say, I have never been to college, but I have the blessed knowledge that my sins are all forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. She was privileged. Now, can you say that tonight? Can you stand up with this old lady tonight and can you quote these words? That your sins are all forgiven and you are on your way to heaven. My, if you can, what a privilege. You know, very often we sing the lovely old choruses, especially when we get the young people gathered round us. And we love to get them to sing the choruses. And sometimes we sing choruses, and while they're great lively choruses, sometimes people are singing them, and they're not real to them. And there's one in particular that we sing, and sometimes in our church in Tandragee, before the service starts, we have hymn singing and everybody singing. And there's one wee man sits in front of me and he's been prayed for years and years and years and he still just sits there, not saved. And his wife sits brokenhearted beside him. And he sits and he sings with the rest of us, rolled away, and the burden off my heart, it rolled away, and it's rubbish. Because he's still carrying the burden within his heart. And so tonight, dear friends, let me say it again. If you tonight are saved, you are a privileged person. If your sins have been forgiven, what a privilege. The second thing I want to say is this. We have, when we're saved, the privilege of passing from death onto life. The privilege of passing from death onto life. Look what it says in verse 14. We know that we have passed from death onto life. Here were the people again. And I can almost sense the joy within their hearts. The thrill within their breasts. Here are people who are speaking about a reality. They're speaking about a privilege. They say, our sins have been forgiven, so we have passed from death unto life. I've mentioned this man before in John's Gospel chapter 9, the blind man. You remember how the Lord gave him back his sight? And because he did so, the old hypocrites were out to slay the Lord. So what did they do? They don't go to the Lord, but they go to the poor man. And they begin to put him under pressure. And they begin to question him, ready to condemn the Savior. And they start to point the finger, where is he? He says, I don't know. What kind of man is he? I don't know. The poor, poor critter doesn't seem to know very much, does he? But then he makes a classic answer. He puts these people right back to where they belong. He says, listen, I don't know where he is. And I don't know much about him. But I am going to tell you what I do know. He says, once I was blind, but now I can see. And friends, that's what it means to pass from death unto life. Once we were in darkness, now we're in the light. Once we were dead in trespasses and in sin, and now tonight we have within us the life of God. You're not perfect. Don't get that idea. If you think you are, take a wee look in the mirror when you're walking past it first thing in the morning, and you'll get a queer shock. I swear it's somebody else walking past my mirror in the mornings when I look into it. You'll still waken up with the wrinkles and all the things that go along with it. Listen, we'll still have our feelings. But thank God, God brought us from death and He has given us life. Life more abundant in Jesus. What a privilege. You know, I have a love for young people. I really love young people. I think the reason being was I wasted so many of my years at the wrong side of a bar. In the social club, I used to pull the pints for the young people and hand them across to them. But from the day I got saved, I asked the Lord to give me the privilege of speaking to young people about the one who can give them real life and real satisfaction and real joy. To take them out of the social club that I was in and to bring them into the fold and the family of God. But as I go around our churches and as I speak to young people, we have young people brought up through the Sunday school, Bible class, youth fellowship, and as they get a little older, sometimes young people get a wee bit concerned about their conversion, about their coming to the Lord. And I have sat down and spent time with young people. And this is the feedback that I get. They say to me, Joe, there's nothing very dramatic about my testimony. And they say that with a very dull tone. There's nothing very dramatic about my testimony. And I look them straight in the eye and I just tell them, I envy you. I envy you. Because the man or the woman, the young person that has never been tainted by the things of the world, that's a very special testimony. You see, it's not about the drama of it. Young person in Dromore tonight, it's about the reality of it. Is Christ your Savior? Is your sins forgiven? Have you passed from death onto life? If you have, what a privilege. What a privilege. The third thing is this that I want to say tonight about this great privilege of being saved. There's the privilege of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes when a man or a woman gets saved, the world looks on and they can't understand what has happened. The Saturday morning that I got saved in the home of the Reverend Frank McClelland in Tandragee, it was at 25 past 10 on a Saturday morning. the 20th of September 1975. I'm just over 34 years of age, so I don't look too bad. Sure I don't. But that night, members of my family came down to my home. And they stood and they asked my wife, what happened to them? It was as if there had been a tragedy. On the Thursday night, I was in the Social Club in Banbridge. And on the Sunday morning, I was in the Free Presbyterian Church in Tandragee. And they wanted to know what happened to him. They didn't come and ask me for some strange reason. They asked my poor wife. They thought maybe I had gone a little bit the way I shouldn't have gone. Until I finally sat down and I said, look, I want to tell you something tonight. I'm saved. At 25 past 10 this morning in Frank McClellan's home, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, and I'm saved. Is that okay? And they nodded their head, yes, I got the okay for it. And those ones that sat that night in my home, inquiring about my salvation and what had happened to me, they're still not saved. And they think that it's wonderful what has happened to their brother and what has happened to one up to my sister, that we're saved by the grace of God. And they're so proud of us, but they're still not saved themselves. And that breaks my heart. But they couldn't understand how the change came about. Was it not hard to give up all the smoking? 100 cigarettes a day. Was it not hard to get away from the alcohol? A bottle of rum at night. It wasn't hard for me because it had nothing to do with it. I'm glad that the Spirit of God came in and made me a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when you get saved, young person. That's what brings the change. The Spirit of God enters into this heart and into your heart. And the things you loved when you were in the world, you hate them. And the things you hated when you were in the world, now you've got a love for them. You love the things of God. You love the Word of God. You love the people of God. You love the things of God. And it's only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that can give you that great love and give you that great change. You see, the Word of God says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Who makes the new creature? Thank God, the Spirit of God comes in and makes us all anew. You know, it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and in the verse 9, and there's sometimes when you show people this verse, well, they're not that fussed in reading on it. But it says in Romans 8 and in the verse 9, listen, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we can't waffle about round that. The truth of the gospel tonight is this, friends. If you are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. I don't care whether you've been christened, baptized, catechized. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. To be born again, you've got to be born again of the Spirit of God. And can I ask you this evening, has that ever happened to you? Has there been a day in your life when your sins were forgiven? When you passed from death onto life? When the Spirit of God entered in and made you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, you're very privileged. You're very privileged. Let me finish tonight by saying this. If you're saved tonight, there is that wonderful privilege of having a secure future. Now, we're living in a day when every time you turn on the news or listen to the politicians or whatever, everything's gone downhill. There's nothing but problems out there in the world. And they talk about how everything is so insecure. And I know we've got to be sensible. We have to live in this world. We're in the world, but we're not off the world. But you know, friends, because you're saved, because you're a child of God, we have this privilege tonight that our future is secure. You'll say, well, Joe, how do you make that out? Well, listen to these people here. They say, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear. What makes your future secure? What makes my future secure? Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. I believe it. He's coming back again. And oh, what a day that will be. We know that He shall appear. And these people are saying, this is a great privilege for us. Look at how secure. We're not worried about the temporal things of life. Look at the security we have for the future. The building societies and the banks are trying to get you to put money in for 10 years and 15 years and 20 years. And they're not guaranteeing 100% security. But you've got 100% security here. Because my Savior is coming back again. And what a day that will be. Do you know when He comes back, we're going to have perfect vision. You know us all older folk, and we use all the spectacles and the contact lenses and all the different things that we need for to help us through life. We're not going to need them anymore. The Scripture says we shall see Him. Friends, try to think about it tonight. If you're saved, we're going to see Him in all of His glory. And we're going to see Him in all of His splendor. We're going to see Him in all of His beauty. We're going to see Him in all of His majesty. We shall see Him as He is. What a privilege. What a privilege. That one day, friends, we're going to look upon the lovely, lovely face of the Savior. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with raptured eye behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Oh, what a day. And then it says, and we shall be like Him. Now this is a wee bit that gets me at times. When I stop and think what I was, an old drunkard in the gutter. One day, I'm going to be like Him. Isn't that a privilege, Christian? Does that not thrill your heart tonight? Well, it should do. For what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes us by the hand, leads us through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Friends, what a future we have. What a secure future we have. Christ is coming again. We shall see Him, and we shall be like Him. But you know, friends, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, as I said this morning, you have no future. If Christ were to come tonight, He'd not be coming for you. And the only way you can be sure, you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, He's coming for me, is to know Him as your Savior. To have your sins forgiven. Because if there's no sins forgiven, if there's no passing from death unto life, if there's no indwelling Holy Spirit, there's no future. And your future is hell. And I say that with a heavy heart. The last night I was in the church preaching, I told you of a brother-in-law who was an alcoholic and very critically ill in hospital. Phyllis's brother, my wife's brother. And 3 weeks ago tomorrow, we buried him. His mind was gone and every bodily function was gone. And we couldn't talk to him about the Savior. Friends, think about the future. Think about your soul. Think about the Savior. For He's coming again. And if you're not saved, He'll not be coming for you. But I'm glad tonight I have good news for you. As was prayed in the prayer meeting, tonight there's life for a look at the crucified one. Would you not like to have the privilege tonight of being saved? Would you not like tonight to have the privilege of knowing that you're saved? You can do, and you can do it tonight. May God bless you, and may God bless His word to each one of our hearts.